You're listening to Vatican Radio.
The Impact Investing Conference 2016 is taking place this week here at the Vatican with key business experts and Catholic leaders from around the world exploring ways to harness the power of impact capital to sustain the Catholic Church's social mission. Impact investing is a form of investment made into companies or organizations with the goal of providing social benefit to those in need, whilst providing a financial return to the investor. The three-day Vatican Conference is hosted by the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace and Catholic Relief Services, CRS, of which Dr. Carolyn Wu is President and CEO. Dr. Wu spoke with Devin Watkins about the usefulness of impact investing for Catholic social ministries and its conformity with the Magisterium of Pope Francis.
Impact investing brings in a new source of capital for solving big social problems. Previously, we are very dependent on charity and philanthropy in order to address these issues, but we know that philanthropy and charity will not bring sufficient resources to address the problems with the scale and the frequency as we see them. So the problems we see is inequality, but also a lot of displacement of people due to violence, climate change, with major displacement. So at that scale and that level, how do we bring resources to bear? So impact investing brings in investment capital. So the part of your money, which is like in your savings, in your pension funds. You probably have a pension fund, retirement fund managed by somebody else. Now those investments, there is a percentage now which is coming into funding social enterprises that could both solve problems but also could deliver a financial return. So now it's attracting investors. Now, meanwhile, the church has been in social ministries for 2,000 years, and the last big push is like 150 years old, when we had a lot of missions, right, coming out of Europe into different continents. And so the church has been doing social ministries at a very large scale for a very long time. And so our goal is really to allow this capital to meet social ministries of the church in order to allow for the use of private money to serve the poor.
Is it only large capital investments, or is it also small, normal people investing their own life savings?
So far, most people invest their money, for example, in their retirement funds through some agency that you don't really know about. And so it tends to come through these big funds. However, there are now emerging what we call retail funds, where you could contribute $30 to buy a share of these impact funds that serve the poor. But that's a very new, fairly innovative, emerging type of vehicle. So right now, it's generally through your retirement funds. And some of you who have invested in what we call index funds, you know, so it's really through that medium right now, but will emerge a medium which you call retail investing.
So mostly it's in developing countries. So you would be giving them not just a handout of money or food, you'd be investing in their own local enterprises, the startup businesses, these kind of things, to start from the ground up?
So there are at least two questions there, and that is this type of action only appropriate in developing countries? And the answer is no, because now we actually see a lot of social problems in very rich countries, like even in England or in the United States. So actually we see these concepts now being implemented for social issues in the United States and in the UK. For example, prisoners who have been released, how do you help them really get a proper start? And where is the funding coming from? So disabled children, for example, or in certain situations, we see housing situations. We need it for low income, and we also need to address issues such as lead in a lot of people's housing. So a lot of problems, even in the developed and wealthy countries, we still see those. So for example, if I run an organization to provide low-cost housing, in the old days, I would have to go raise money from charity in order to do it, right? But actually, when you provide low-income housing, the people who have that housing, they actually pay something into it. It's not a completely free good to them either. So the whole question is, can we get investors who are willing to invest in this? And even though it's low-income housing, is there a way to make that housing available and affordable, and at the same time could generate like a 4 or 5% return to the investors? So that's the whole idea, because if you completely dependent on philanthropy, so many fewer people could have access to that. And so the key really is, can we scale this up by looking at it as a business enterprise? There is a misunderstanding that thinks that the church never gets into business enterprise, and it's not true. So during the Middle Ages, particularly when the monasteries were flourishing, they were actually businesses. They made breads and they created an infrastructure that could distribute wine and other type of commerce. In fact, double entry accounting was presumably developed by a Franciscan monk. So even nowadays, attending the conference, a gentleman who runs a Catholic bank in Germany. We have the Knights of Columbus in the United States, which sell insurance. And so the Catholic Church is not unknown to this. And there are some ministries which you will always have to rely on philanthropy. But there's a lot of other ministries that maybe a business model could work rather than just relying on them to give the money away. And even foundations which used to give money away now will try to say, are there more useful way to deploy our money? We don't want a return. But for example, instead of just giving the money away, we become your loan guarantor, so that you could go borrow money from the bank, because we will be the one who provides the loss guarantee. So the bank looks at that foundation's balance sheet to assess risk, not the not-for-profit agency. So all of a sudden, the not-for-profit agency may be able to access loan capital at what we call a concessionary rate, below market rate, because they have no risk. And they have no risk because the foundation backs them up. And the foundation backs them up if you really understand that not-for-profit has a history, like of 30 years of managing really well. The foundation is also not taking on a lot of risk. So you can see for the same dollar, that foundation can act a lot more not-for-profit activities.
So it's about breaking the cycle of dependence for the poor. It's not just giving them, but it's giving them opportunities as well. And because Pope Francis has been all about, in his pontificate, about the poor, this is obviously in line with his general teaching, his magisterium, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, the Pope actually says we need to use the market. We need to use capitalism to serve the poor, to not exploit the poor. And so this is a very creative use of capital to do good while still delivering a return.